Welcome to the Ian Ellis Podcast. Today I'm joined by Michael.
Eric.
Alec.
Alec, a.k.a. Otter.
Yes.
Michael, you're in charge this episode.
Okay. Sure.
I do know who you are, because you were the newer guy.
Yeah.
Yes, okay.
It's all coming back to him now.
We were stoned.
All right, we hope to be again.
Yeah, no, we do. Sure, the only reason why I thought like this might be a good idea is a quick news bite. I don't know, like a political thing. I know that's not really always the most humorous.
Let's get political.
Yeah.
Beer, beer, beer.
Are you a cop?
You got some spicy takes?
We're getting political.
Are you
now.
Ready?
I'm ready.
Smell like a cop.
You got some orange man bad in your pocket?
I'm a fun cop.
Better get ready to pull it out.
There's no such thing as a fun cop.
A police fun. I make sure it doesn't happen. I put a stop to it fun right police. Away. Someone's having fun. I gotta end it.
Huge sign. Guys, no fun.
Yeah, seriously, though? No fun.
Yeah, and no fun for Donald Trump, right? I know it's taboo to talk about a president, and it shouldn't be, right? That's weird that it is.
I mean, they shit on everyone else. Every other president, I don't know.
Yeah. This one, it's just kind of weird that we're still calling him our president. And, like...
I'd say less than half the country actually is.
Hold on. Because we're very close to the next election, right?
Yeah.
So they're trying to throw this impeachment thing at him. And if they wrap it up quick and they get him, all right, then they got him. But if they don't,
yeah,
if they fumble it, they're handing him the election.
It goes to 2020.
After Mueller, after you fucked up Mueller, if you fucked this up, or are they going to drag it on through the election? During the debates, he's going to be dealing with impeachment.
And then he would win.
Normally, yeah. I would have been like, yeah, I don't know, but like if you've read the thing, the transcript. It's like,
which
dude,
I haven't.
Come the fuck on.
It was in depth.
Oh,
it was like, I guess,
so incriminating.
What it said,
so incriminating.
It looked like a group of people wrote it, and it looked more like an indictment.
Don't just tease me. Tell me what it says.
Here apparently is how it works. Because I saw this on the news the other day, because I was actually like looking into it. Is that there is a machine that will transcribe the phone call, and then people that would listen to the phone call would then go over that transcription and change what the audio software did not pick up correctly.
Hold on, for the record, I have that feature on my phone when I get voicemails. I can read a transcript
of it. Right, and it's not always accurate.
It's not exactly.
Hello, that's why they have other people like
that.
Why don't
you call you about your car
call.
Warranty?
Yeah.
And you can't understand a word he's saying.
Hey,
he's talking about
squid fuck on Saturday.
That's why they have people who actually listen to the phone call and do that. Like, they have people that actually will listen to the audio of it and edit the transcript to make it as factually accurate as possible.
So what are the hotlines? What are the bars?
Specifically and explicitly talked about Joe Biden. And, like, how Trump works...
Talked about him, or was like, you need to investigate?
I'm not quite sure. I don't know.
Because he has to talk about him. What, are you supposed to not talk about people?
At first, I think it's more of, like, Trump said it was, like, a return the favor type of thing. We have, like, $400 million.
Oh, the word favor was used.
Yeah, right? They had, like, $400 million that Congress signed off to give...
aid money.
Yeah, Ukraine.
To sell Obama's chair.
Donald was like, this is fucked. This is kind of funny. He's like, yo... Do you want the $400 million?
Trying to sell Obama's
do the
chair.
Investigation.
Oh, yeah.
There's something I needed to do
was
for 2020. And then
everyone's pretty fucking.
They're smelling it. They're like, Russia, 2016. Like, it doesn't go away that fast. Like, we remember what happened. It was interfered, right, by a foreign government. And then just for him to be like, yo, yeah, let's do it again. Ukraine, go investigate Joe Biden if you want $400 million that Congress has literally said they're already going to give you.
It's like you can't be tried for the same crime twice. So he was like, now that I got this out of the way.
I saw Double Jeopardy. Did you see Double Jeopardy?
That's right, I got the answer right.
That's where I get all my political decisions from. 80s movies.
There you go.
Strictly. Woody Harrelson was in White Man Can't Jump. And that is kind of off topic. Trying to bring it back. No, but trying to bring it back to like, what is going on, and why is everyone relating this to Watergate? I want to know. What is similar to Watergate as to this?
Is everybody here up to speed on Watergate? I know I've seen about three movies. I'm not really... It didn't stick with me. It's not something I know fact for fact the case in my head.
Well, is Donald just coming out and being like, I'm going to skip the step where they found it in the hotel. I'm just going to show you guys what happened.
Sounds like.
What is that?
It sounds like he has a lot of confidence. And he's like, hey, this is locker room talk. All right, Joe Biden got a tiny dick. That's all I was saying. Investigate.
Okay, so I'm reading it now, and he uses the line, I would like you to do us a favor, though, because our country has been through a lot. And this is after they talked about the money that the U.S. has put into Ukraine in military aid, right? He says, I'd like you to do us a favor, though, because our country has been through a lot, and Ukraine knows about it.
Yeah.
Which is very accusatory off the bat. I would like you to find out what happened with the whole situation with Ukraine. They say CrowdStrike. I guess you have one of your wealthy people. The server, they say Ukraine had it. That's a whole thing. Like, I'm like, what?
How do you understand that?
Right. There are a lot of things on it, or there are a lot of things that went on.
Can you read it in a Trump voice?
No. The whole situation...
Can either of you?
So he goes on to talk more about the Mueller thing, as you saw yesterday.
All right, well, hold on. So let's put a pin in it. So far, it doesn't sound like... It sounds like he's using it colloquially, where he's not asking for a favor. He's just like, hey, do me a favor. Well, right, I heard your people are protesting because of some rich jerk-off.
Where it gets weird is later on, he actually says... a lot of people are talking about that. A prosecutor, a Ukrainian prosecutor who was shut down... For being corrupt, that's where the Bidens come into play, because Joe Biden's son was a board member for a Ukrainian company.
Yeah.
Crooked Biden?
That's the thing.
Crooked Biden,
the
no?
The Ukrainian prosecutor was the one who was trying to squeeze that company for money and get stuff out of that, you know what I mean? And Joe Biden kind of talked to the Ukrainian government when he was vice president.
I'm going to, as a non-biased person that hates all politicians, say that Trump is going like, hey, do me a favor. That scandal that involved this dude, you should look further into that. That doesn't seem like a crime to me.
The issue here is it wouldn't be a big deal if Biden wasn't running.
Also, maybe if Biden dropped a hit single, like who's the rapper he got out?
If Biden wasn't running, it wouldn't be this level of thing. Matter of fact, if Biden wasn't running, Trump would probably never fucking ask about it.
If Biden put a dollar sign in his name...
Why would he? There would be no point at that big level. If Biden wasn't running, he'd be going after...
This is just the dirtiest laundry that Biden has, and Trump thinks he's not doing anything illegal by exposing the laundry.
Well, and here's the beautiful thing for me.
He's truly convinced. He's also a sociopath.
Trump is inviting this because he thinks it'll make Biden look worse than him. Now, he doesn't think he did anything wrong.
Where it gets interesting is he's telling the Ukrainian president that he's going to get Rudy Giuliani, his personal lawyer, involved in it. That's where it gets like, what the fuck? Yeah. He's talking about getting the Attorney General for the U.S. involved, but also Rudy Giuliani does not work for the United States government whatsoever.
He's trying to drain the swamp. Even in the Ukraine. He's like, I heard we got some corruption. Let's get rid of him. I got my best guy, my top lawyer, the mayor of New York. He's going to come look into this.
But he, like, what was said about how he would not be investigating this whatsoever if Biden wasn't running.
But that's speculation on motive.
But here's the thing. This isn't speculation. He's actually talking to a foreign government about the 2020 election. True or false?
What?
It's like, this is what the House Intelligence Committee will do.
Well, no, that doesn't sound to me like he's saying, like, this is my opposition.
He should talk to them.
He's saying, like...
He should talk to them.
You should look more into that.
Now, the interesting thing I find here is the fact that by him going after Biden, he's really doing progressives a favor. Because the only reason Biden is running is because the DNC thinks it's a good idea.
Right.
Well, Joe Biden's not going to win.
I don't think he will either. But you know what I'm saying? Like, that
is
boring. Biden is this election's version of Hillary, somebody that the DNC
made
is
out
pushing
of drywall,
unnecessarily probably. Instead of just letting things run their course.
Yeah.
Should you be able to talk to a foreign government
he's
about
more
the election?
Boring than Bernie.
Yeah?
I don't
like,
think
Bernie's
so.
Like, Bernie's 900 years
you guys
old,
think,
and Joe Biden, he has more personality than Biden.
Yeah.
But he's at least upset about stuff.
You love your country, right? This is borderline treason we're talking about. You love America. It's the best country ever. It's got a crazy amount of high moral values. But do you think this guy resembles any of those moral values? Do you think talking to a foreign government about our American United States of, like, election in 2020, do you think any of that's okay? Do you think he should be allowed to?
See, I'm not an optimist about this country, and I think Trump does represent the morals of America.
Oh,
I
okay.
do too.
I think he represents the morals of capitalism and me first. That's exactly what he represents.
Exactly.
and that's
yeah,
why.
Well, that's really capitalistic. That's almost all capitalistic.
But again, right? I'm very much a pessimist.
He calls
in that
people
regard,
like pigs,
so
though. That's
like,
not about sure. capitalism. He doesn't say that. Oh, I guess it is, because if they live in huts, they're not.
But they're poor. They're poor. That's what they. You know what I mean? Like it's.
Here's my question.
Everyone else is below him.
Sure.
He does not see himself as an equal to anyone else.
We
even
all
people that make have more money.
We
than
all
him.
Hate Trump. He's a sleazebag. He's a used car salesman. A snake. A serpent in the grass.
Is this how you
Terrible.
Guys
want
to be? Is this the precedent?
Well,
that set?
Here's my question: is like, why can nothing stick to him? Because I've seen documentaries about his corruption with casinos, and I'm like, isn't that enough to disqualify him as a? How come we can't take him down?
Yeah.
Question. Good question. We've all tried. This
Get
might
your law
be,
degrees out. I
this
want
might be,
answers.
Yeah, right? This might be the final straw, though. This might be it, because Pelosi's finally doing formal proceedings, and I know she's a nutcase.
Are you guys at all disappointed in the media?
Yeah, I love the media. Sure. I wanted to be a journalist. Isn't it? It's
Did
just,
you?
Yeah, I was going to school to be a journalist, and I thought, like, this was, since, like, sophomore, junior year of high school, I was like, this is
I feel like they've been perfect. So horny to take him down that they're exposing that they are, in fact, fake news.
They're part of the problem.
I agree.
Which is like, why would you give him that point?
One American
he
news
keeps
is
saying
good.
It. Exactly. Have they some integrity. You can't stick him on integrity if you don't have integrity.
You can't watch the big broadcasts Tigrity. For your news. You got to watch these like independent stations,
like the Young Turks.
No, like Newsy. The Young Turks.
Who's the Prove Me Wrong? Steven Crowder. Where do you get your news from?
NPR.
Okay.
Cokie Roberts.
Yeah,
I did. I know.
That's not bad.
Well,
I no longer watch the news, but I always like Bill Moyer. He seemed to be liberal but fair.
Are you more of a house?
I'm a what? A house Negro? Is that what you call me?
Are you?
Here we go.
Is that the same? That's how you feel about?
I haven't watched the news since Trump was running. I just opted out of television.
You say Matt Lauer or Bill Maurer?
Bill Maher.
Bill
Maher.
Bill
Maher.
Bill Moyer.
Okay.
Bill Moyer.
I thought he fucked up Bill Maher's
Bill
name.
Yeah, I thought you were
Bill Maher is another one who gets so horny for things that he ends up like seeming like a douchebag. And you're like, dude, calm it down. Reasonable is why we liked you.
I'll be honest, the way I get my news from nowadays is more on the satire side of things.
Okay.
Because
a lot of people are reading The Onion.
Let me ask you
I mean,
a question.
It's,
who knew
they
that the
take
Onion would be more true than,
right.
than reality?
So you guys all feel like independent sources are like your best source of information?
Currently, yes.
So.
How do you feel about YouTube social engineering by programming you where like if you like something, they slowly shadow ban what you like and try to drip feed you down into their social message? By like suggest they suggest
Is it their social message or just your interest that they're trying to help you to develop more
that
of
would
your
be
interest.
Fair that is but good. It's not your interest they literally will like unsubscribe you from things and purposely like suggest things to try and get you away from that ideology
That's interesting so the opposite effect of what we were talking about like instead of trying to reason with what you already like and make you like it more and become
Fuck, all I watch on YouTube are animal videos and British panel shows.
British
like,
panel
like, That's it. That's all I watch on YouTube. Like, British I've comedy panel shows. Like, that's the whole thing.
I've never seen them.
Like, that's it.
That's it. It's all that right. and animal videos. No, no, like, no, no, that's
no. Billy Graham, who's the guy who's
give me
of
a
the
moment.
Hosts over there.
Give me, like, one interview moment or something from this British thing that you were like, that you laughed out loud.
Oh, fucking any of. I mean, are you kidding me? There's so many good shows. 8 out of 10 Cats. Taskmaster. Like, it's just
one moment out of one interview where you're like, that's what I'm talking about.
Not interview shows, like panel shows.
Yeah, that's what an interview like.
No, I don't. I mean that as in the panel. So for American audiences, a panel show is more interview. You're thinking more Graham Norton type stuff. I'm talking about the more comedic stuff where it's a lot Graham of opinion based things. 8 out of 10 Cats is a great example. Like, that's a show where they just mock the week. They just literally go up and just have fun and
do you like John Oliver?
Can you give me
I
one
love
of
John
their
Oliver.
I do.
I find John
Not
Oliver
even John
to be insufferable.
No, I love
oh,
him.
Really?
Because
yes.
Why did you say that?
Because he is over the top preachy where he puts the message before funny. What was great about the old Daily Show was funny came first. We want the message, absolutely, but funny comes first, and now it's reversed.
I think
now it's message first.
But I think that is a product of the time we're in because the message from your major news sources is so fucking muddled.
Let me ask you about this.
That he has to put message first to clear shit up and then throw jokes in along the way.
Bill Burr just put out a special and he had Jim Gaffigan on his show to talk about it.
Right.
And Jim Gaffigan said, I hate it when you tell jokes that make the other side laugh because I feel like anyone who has a different political opinion or who is bigoted in any way doesn't deserve to laugh.
Yeah.
Because that is message first down to, like, they don't deserve to laugh. They shouldn't have joy in their life. How do you feel about...
I think that's a... It's a
Jim
it's
Gaffigan. Hot pocket.
Baby.
See, I don't necessarily agree with that, that phrase.
I was on my
You know,
voice.
Wording there.
I did TBS before. It was cool.
The issue you can run in with that... And I'm a firm believer that you can make anything funny.
Yeah, you really
there
can.
There is no, like, there shouldn't be an off-topic subject.
People are like, rape, you cannot make rape funny.
You
like, watch me
make
rape
it
funny.
Funny. I have a joke have about
funny.
Suicide.
You have to make it funny.
I have a joke about suicide.
Yeah, you have to make it funny, though, because if it doesn't, if it's not funny,
exactly.
then you got to go to therapy. And like the audience wasn't.
This is therapy. For
the
me.
Audience is not your therapist. So that's the problem. A lot
is
of like
though?
Comedians have. I think we talked about this last week. What do you think? Like troubles young starting or not even starting up, but like what do you think troubles most open mic goers and stuff? And it was like crowds and stuff. And a lot of people come because they think it's their therapy session, and it's really discouraging to just. Sit in that because then you're like thinking about it.
I think
like,
but
oh,
again,
I,
you have to make it funny.
I think
you just have to make it funny. You got
to
be funny.
An open mic as a therapist session
think,
to talk about my own near suicide attempt.
Oh, hold on.
I think make it funny.
I think there
bring
is
it in,
something.
I've seen a lot of comics do exactly
on,
what
hold
you're
on,
talking
hold
about.
Hold on, hold on. I think there's something cathartic about just saying something out loud.
Oh, absolutely.
Even to a room of strangers, like I got it out. So now it's a story. So now you can process it and deal with it.
Yeah,
but. The real work is not on stage. That's some shit you
no,
gotta do
absolutely.
As a human being. You can't just be like, I do comedy, that's my therapy.
Yeah.
I'm gonna get better.
Yeah, don't.
Definitely not gonna develop a drinking
problem.
Problem,
right. Exactly. I'm definitely not gonna get even more isolated because this is just a life of isolation. People who wanna be comedians, people who wanna be in entertainment, you have to understand that like you're literally always by yourself and you probably chose this decision because you always probably have been
it's
by
like,
yourself.
That's
like,
why I always
that.
Laugh at guys who bring... like dates to open mics. I'm like, what are you
I've
doing?
Gotten so many dates
don't
to open mics.
Don't do that.
And we don't make fun of the people that go up there, but we give each other looks and we kind of like, we are, I'm communicating with my date now that we're both like, this is garbage. Or something like, this isn't good. We can go have sex
not
in the parking
I'm
lot
I'm not even talking
instead.
About that. It's like, if you bring it, that's the thing like, I've like,
elfish.
I've heard this conversation happen.
It works.
From not being a part of it, but like, I've heard someone, like a date that a comic had brought to an open mic, start to talk to him about, I heard you do these jokes last week. Or 2 weeks ago.
Sure. Like, they don't get it.
They don't understand that this is practice time.
But
like, it's not like a musician where you can sit in a basement and work with your
guitar. Hold on, this ties into something I want to say about sobriety, which is like a lot of sober people, AA people, will substitute one thing for the other. Because like the drinking wasn't the problem. It was the wound that made them drink that was the problem.
True, 100%.
And so they'll trade it off for working out or like I go to the zoo a lot because I have a kid. It'd be 90 degrees out and you'll see someone with a hot cup of coffee. That's an AA person. They can't not drink hot coffee even if it's like 97 fucking degrees out. And I think there's a lot of people that go into comedy fucked up and then they feel better telling the story, but then they get addicted to the validation of telling the story, and if people don't like them, they just spiral right back down into the wound and the hate. Like, their entire identity and self-esteem gets sucked into the validation of
that
the audience.
That is correct.
Like, that ain't healthy, man.
None of it's healthy. None of instant gratification is not healthy, and that's a lot of people... Really
I'm a 4-year sober alcoholic, dude. I know all about that shit. Like, that's like...
bring coffee to the zoo? You a coffee at the zoo, ass?
I'll bring fucking coffee anywhere.
Like, we were talking about trying to make anything funny. You know, but it's hard to do that, right? It's hard to make something funny. And so, a lot of these people...
It takes
time
to get there.
It's an outlet. It's a rush. It's a very righteous place, right? It could be some people's...
Hopefully.
But if you're... I don't know, man. This sounds so mean. But if you're not funny, if no one is laughing and if everyone becomes uncomfortable and you don't get better from that, what do we do?
My favorite example of this...
I'm sorry?
Did you have a comment?
No. I mean, I'm just... I guess. Oh. Not everyone's funny.
No, yeah.
Not everyone's funny.
My favorite example of that is I was doing a mic at Riddles, and the guy who went up right before me, who I will for this have remained nameless, went up, and the first words out of his mouth were about how being transgender is not a real thing. There was no punchline. There was no joke. It was just word diarrhea.
Yeah.
Was like,
I had this guy Monday night.
Set, maybe the joke was that he was a character saying vile things.
But that wasn't it, because he does this kind of shit all the fucking time. Okay. Like, if I hadn't seen this person go up before,
yes,
I would have been like, okay, maybe I'll give
him Hey, change your bit. You could, like, help him that way, but there's no helping people who are just set, like
Superman likes butt stuff. Again, no punchline, no joke, just bleh.
That's my whole set is no
just, like,
punch.
It was so...
My whole set is punchline, no joke. What do you
mean? Let me ask you one of the most controversial questions of all time. And you had said, like, there are people that you can tell, like, they're not built for this.
Monday night, this guy does an infomercial about girls giving blowjobs. And he leaves after a set.
That's funny premise.
But everyone, dude, but it was a whole ass infomercial. Like, ladies,
I think it's a whole bit in a Mike.
Give
Judge
your
film.
Man some head. Am I right?
Girls be sucking dick. So it was a white guy, right?
No,
Chinese. So what? Irony. What are the red flags of someone that you're like, oh, that they're just delusional?
Dude,
like, we talked. This is just week. A crazy person. I know, but we didn't really get into it. True. Now, true. All three of you have said there are some people that just aren't funny.
Right.
What are some of the earmarks of the just not funny people?
Am I right? You know what I mean? You should avoid those things at all times.
So crutches, you know. Hopefully but you grow out of that as you get into it.
It doesn't matter.
I would say utter silence.
Science?
Science.
Yeah, that's a thing.
Because you can make a bad joke and people will groan or whatever, right?
It's not that bad of a joke. You gotta to react in
so
a way.
It's a reaction. If you do something and you just get completely silence as a reaction, fucking stop. Like that. Clearly, whatever you're doing isn't working.
I'll speak to that real quick because, like, Nick DiPaolo in his last special kept going, like, ah, oh, that too much for ya?
Yeah.
But the audience was just being quiet. And as someone who's, like, said some raw shit before, I could tell you, when you strike a nerve, they're not quiet. Nah. They're like, oh, what? Like, there's an audible, get the fuck out of here. We're not comfortable with this.
But people who are just ghost, and you gotta be like, I made them super uncomfortable. So what do? I self-humiliate, right? I'm just like, I could break fourth wall at this point because it's already, like, my joke missed. So now I could just try to make them laugh by making fun of myself, and that usually works. And you develop things like that. And if truly, this would be a great podcast for people who are interested in stuff and also starting out in comedy. Like, this would be a perfect...
Stuff.
There's
you heard it here first, folks. Yeah. If you're into stuff, check out the Ian Ellis podcast. We're on that shit.
We're talking about stuff.
Hot takes. Muy caliente stuff happening on this podcast. Fuck Steven Crowder and Joe Rogan. Stuff exists here.
We could do some ayahuasca and just beat Joe Rogan and, like, just do ayahuasca on... Oh, no, I saw this video. It was called, like, Planting on Salvia. Have you guys ever seen that video, Planting on Salvia? Okay.
No, man.
So, exterior...
Salvia made me stumble.
Exterior backyard garden. Man, 25, long hippie hair, no shirt. Starts pouring water, right? And then he turns around
sideways.
Right, he turns to the camera. He looks and he talks to the camera. He says stuff like, "All right, today," like an old YouTuber, like, "Today, guys, like, yeah, just gonna smoke this salvia, and we're gonna plant. We're gonna
fuck up my equilibrium. No epiphany moment. No chill high. No body high."
This dude laid down. So the first, like, 2 minutes are him just, like, after he smokes the fuck out of it. 2 minutes of him just, like, wobbling, like, on his knees still, like watering and, like, wobbling. And then all of a sudden, bro, this dude just lays down, takes his shirt that was over here, uses it as a pillow, and just sleeps for, like, two.
So that only gets you high for, like, 15 minutes. Do you travel the whole country, or just Texas and Chicago?
Texas and Chicago, mostly.
All right. I want you to
move to Texas to ask him questions.
Austin. You especially, since you're getting ready to move, about the difference between their comedy scene and our comedy scene. You're getting ready to go down there, man. What does he need to know?
Fall next year, I'm getting the fuck out of Illinois.
What are the good mics to go to?
I've looked up some of the stuff they have out there. I really want to hit up that hot mic that they have out there. I don't know.
Hot mic?
Yeah, it's apparently the way it works is you go up, You right before you go up, everyone gets five, but right before you go up, you spin a wheel, and whatever hot pepper it lands on, you have to eat right before you do your set. Yeah, apparently.
Oh,
it's on the comedy website for Austin. It's one
that's
of the
a gimmick where I'm like, nah, I'm good.
I keep Austin weird, baby.
Just the inherent challenge of it is what has me excited more than anything else. Because I'm super white. I don't handle spicy food well at all.
Would you be on the hot ones?
Yeah.
I would absolutely.
I love hot ones, bro.
Fuck that shit.
Hot Ones is a Snapchat show with this host who does, I think, MTV too. I'm pretty sure I've seen him on MTV. He's like,
no, it's on YouTube.
He's like I know. Oh, it's on Hot Ones on YouTube.
YouTube.
Oh, my bad.
YouTube,
I watch it. I actually watch it via Snapchat.
Where that's he'll interview a guest. He's actually had a lot of like high profile celebrities.
Like a
Snap
original. Oh, they got to start telling me which one.
Oh, sure.
Fall on.
Idris Elba was one of his guests recently. Stone Cold Steve Austin was one of his guests. He's had a bunch of like high profile celebrities lately. But the way it works is he interviews them, and with every like other question, you have to eat a wing with a progressively hotter sauce on it.
Okay. Yeah.
And so the further that guest gets in, the more they just start like, and their eyes are watering and all this crazy. Huh. It's awesome.
You doing comedy?
It's a really cool show.
Texas.
Tell me about their comedy.
I am. I think this is my last.
No, Tommy. Tommy. We're doing a show.
Oh, I don't know him. I was going to...
We've cut this man off about three times.
Yes, tell me about
Tommy,
Texas.
Tommy, you can take over the interview, but ask him about the Texas comedy scene.
Yeah.
Please tell me about the Texas comedy
scene.
You're
the second person to ask me tonight.
Is that good?
No, you're the best of the two, though. That's what he said.
So in Austin, it's really saturated. Mm-hmm. So once a year in the spring, they have a contest, the funniest person in Austin. Cap City Comedy Center.
Okay.
Comedy Club. And they may have 300 to 400 local people. You have to live within the city limits.
Okay.
And they're about 300 or 400 people.
Make sure you're in district.
Yeah,
like
right.
Cool. So, I mean, it's very saturated. You go on Last Gas Comedy website.
Okay.
And there's just an aggregation of all the open mics.
That's where I went to, and that's where I saw that.
Okay.
One.
So
yeah.
Every night, you can have 3 or 4 options.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll see the same people. And it's very clicky, and you have to know, you know, who to get in.
Yeah, well, that's just like any scene, really. It's how
but what I've noticed in the last year, there are several people who are kind of like the misfits, who have started their own shows,
mm-hmm.
and they're the ones who reach out to people like me, who aren't necessarily popular with the in crowd. So it's gotten a lot better, I think.
That's fucking interesting.
I'm very excited to move down there and try my hand to do things.
No,
down there.
And like I said,
scenery.
Wherever you live, downtown, south, north, there's a venue all over the place. Once you leave the city limits, it's really hard to find. You know, it's San Antonio or Dallas,
right.
But
gotcha.
Not right around the corner. Though.
Personal question: you didn't have the answer.
Sure.
Did you feel like you had a good experience?
I still live in Austin. I love it there.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
You live in Austin?
Yeah.
Oh, I hate to say it, but one of my favorite shows is Austin City Limits.
Oh, sure.
I mean, are you kidding me? Those people know art.
Yeah.
And they get it.
What
I don't know
it?
What it's like to
you
live there,
ACL
but they
is?
Just seem like nice.
Okay.
I'm sure there's
bad size.
Seats. It's like made with
this
place.
Man just called it ACL, right? You
call
it Austin City Limits.
Yeah, or it could be anterior.
I'm not on the in crowd, bro.
Or it could be anterior cruciate ligament. Your choice.
Yeah. Hey, this man just said I'm super Chicago, so fuck yeah. So like, that is the best compliment I've had.
I'm going
in
down there.
Months.
My dream job is located
What's your job
down
there.
Are you familiar with Rooster Teeth?
No,
they're
no.
an online media company that is based
okay.
out of Austin.
That's correct.
That do
Rooster Teeth.
Online, so they do animation. They're actually just got bought recently by Warner Brothers.
Oh.
So they're actually making the new Transformers animated series, which is awesome.
Fucking
so
lady.
Their in-house animators get to do that. Animation, live action, film, television show style stuff, sketches,
improv,
like a bunch of stuff that this company does. And I want to work for them as a writer. And
my name's Tommy Lee.
Yeah, man. Everywhere I go.
Alec, God bless you and your family.
Eric,
God bless you and your family.
Michael, sir.
Michael, God bless you and your family.
So, like, I'm moving down there with a goal and a purpose. All right, but
Ian's
like,
back.
Really...
I'm going to go get my drink.
So, you have the job?
No, not yet. I'm going down there on a whim.
Hey,
we'll see what happens.
I mean, the music scene is huge. The film scene is apparently huge.
Alec!
That's me.
Oh, Eric!
That's Michael.
Eric.
I'm Eric.
Quaker, would you quit shouting into the microphone?
Is this a podcast?
Yes, stupid.
Oh, am I a friggin' idiot?
Like, wait, here comes the ear fuck.
I'm out.
And to kind of feel a little bit young again,
God bless all of you and your family.
Better be back. This ain't your last time. This ain't your last rodeo. Please, give it up again. Tommy!
Tommy!
Yeah. Alright. This next guy's got an awesome podcast. Check it out. If you like podcasts, it's the Ian Ellis Podcast. Because his name is Ian Ellis, everyone.
You guys like stories about Jews being killed?
Yes!
You know, Tommy told me that joke before he came up here tonight. And I was like, you should probably add some punchlines. He's like, nope, just wanted to press people. They're like, they need to know about Brazil and the Jews. And feel bad about yourself. Guys, I'm super chill because I'm on vacation! Beer, 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 beer! That's right, bitches. I'm on paid vacation. What?
Yeah!
You got a job! Hold that shit down! I know some of you guys are jealous. Bunch of Uber drivers. Don't even have health care. Making it your way. Living your best life. I have 7 days a year where I get paid to just be a regular person. And I live at the poverty line. It takes a lot of work to stay here. Sometimes I'm jealous of homeless people. They don't have as much as me, but they also don't have to deal with corporate. Just stand on a corner and ask for change. Every day is their day off. They don't have to deal with chicken at all. But I do, to stay at the poverty line. And Uber drivers are jealous. It's more of a staycation. You know, I'm just sticking around. It's my opportunity to catch up on shit I don't normally have time to do. Because I work too much. I closed the bank account for my dead dad. You guys do that? Your dad's dead? Is he still alive? Get excited, he's gonna die. And one day you're gonna have to be an adult and close his bank account. It's very easy, I'll prepare you. You just need a state ID and a passport. And a DNA test, and a couple of the teller's kids held at gunpoint. If you just do that, you can close the account. Otherwise, they're scared of identity theft. They're terrified of it, and they don't want any accounts closed. You guys want to talk about religion?
Yeah.
I'm a Peekist. Any of you guys Peekist?
What?
No? This isn't something I'm just making up. I'm a Peekist. It's a faith that's been around for generations, billions of years. It wasn't bullshit, it's Greek. Oh, you know enough about Greek history to tell me I'm wrong, stupid? Yeah, that's right. Greeks are known Peekist. It's based on the game Peekaboo. Is where you believe every human being is God, God incarnate. And he's just dressing up and playing peekaboo. Tess, he wants to know, can you see him in this asshole? Can you find God in this particular douchebag? People are assholes and you're like, I see you! Oh, there you are, God. Peekaboo! Philosophically, it's like a pretty good religion. Except for, like, when you're getting raped. You know, like, oh, is that you, God? Got me! Peekaboo! I see you! Fucking raping me. I don't know why you would hide in that. I
like an alcoholic plows into your car and kills everybody that you know and love and care about, your wife and your kids. And... God, oh, naughty God. Naughty. You almost got me there. That's you. That's God. That's the ineffable plan. You almost got me, you salty dog. Killing my wife and my kids. I see you. I see your plan. That's Jesus. Anyways, we'll close out on this. I hate any comedian that seems like they would make a good Power Ranger. Deanna, he's a red Power Ranger. Cameron Esposito, that's a pink Power Ranger if I ever saw one. Ali Wong, that's a yellow Power Ranger. I like her, but she has nerd written all over her face. I'm just saying, don't trust them. They work for Zordon. Right, my name's Ian Ellis. I love you tonight.
Yeah, nice job. Nice job.
Good for Ian Ellis, everyone. Next guy,
This is Ram Dass here and now, and
well, part of it I've just described to you. Part of it is metaphysical play. It's playing with planes of reality and playing with consciousness. Part of it is the mindfulness things that in terms of holding an awareness of moment-to-moment phenomena. And as I get lost into the phenomena and lose my mindfulness, then there are devices in me that take over, that bring me back into it. There are like this is a device, it's a technique, the beads, doing a mantra. It's a device, like I can be standing in a supermarket at the checkout line. This is my usual example, at the checkout line. And there is a person, three people up from me. It's late in the day and I'm tired. Person up in front has a huge grocery thing. And it all gets through and they give this total, the clerk gives the total, and then this person starts to fill out a check. Not only fill out a check, but fill out the other part of the check too. You know, the check part, you know, the record part. And I am like, you know how you turn into something else? And at that moment, I feel in my finger the beads, and I hear Ram, 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 and the whole thing turns into a dream. It turns into Leela, into play. And boy, that me getting angry is so funny. It's like, well, I caught myself again taking it as real. I play games with my guru because my basic method is Guru Kripa, or grace of the guru, that strange-looking gentleman up there. And he's got his foot up down there, yeah. And he and I sort of play hide-and-seek all the time. He keeps coming to me as people, like, I'll bet Ram Dass won't see me in this one. See? And I think I'm meeting you. I don't realize you're Maharaji in drag that's come to test me about my practice, see? But now I see who you are. You can't fool me. I know who you think you are. That's your problem. I know who you are, you see. That's part of my practice.
You gotta change.
Yeah.
We changed enough. You motherfuckers need to change, homie.
Yep.
And this no racism is just real shit, bro.
This is clarity, bro.
Yeah, you know?
Innocence and
of the same since our self-interest turned us against our neighbors. For no greater reason than our ignorance. Manipulated by the power-hungry hoarders of exploitation. The machine of fear, the disparities between the careless and those who care. You dip your hands in this virtuous and pay your tithes to the industry. Pay your tithes to the industry. You pay your tithes to the industry. And we adhere to your ministry. Habits are choices made repeatedly. I dare you to see it differently. I dare you. I dare you to love me just the way. And I surrendered to the fact that we were always guilty. Guilty of our innocence and never the same since our self-interest turned us against our neighbor. For no greater reason.
You motherfuckers need to change, homie.
Yep.
And it's not racism, it's just real shit, bro.
This is clarity, bro.
Yeah, you know?
Love me just the way I am.
Ah.